Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Truth Podcast, where we teach and preach the Catholic faith without apology and without compromise. We are incredibly excited and passionate about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're incredibly excited and passionate about His bride, His church, the Catholic Church. And we are so excited to bring you the truth of Catholicism that's been here for 2,000 years and has outlasted institutions, organizations, and powers on this earth. And it's all because it was started by Jesus Christ. Periodically, we like to share and inspire you with different people, with interviews, with people who live out the faith in different ways. And this week, we want to share with you Catholic Teen Posts. You may or may not have heard of her, but she is a 21-year-old Catholic from Texas who is a traditional Catholic, and she has an Instagram account that has over 100,000 followers. And so, she considers herself an apologist, amateur apologist, as she said, and an influencer, a Catholic influencer, and she is influencing many people. In fact, 100,000 followers on Instagram. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about some evangelization, and we're going to talk about how just one person can make a difference in the world. She started this as a teenager, and this teenager is now affecting hundreds of thousands and probably millions of lives. So if every Catholic lived their faith like this, and they were passionate, and they evangelized with the gifts that God's given them, we're going to change the world in some way. I mean, not everybody is called to be me. I'm an apologist. I'm an evangelist. I've done door-to-door ministry. I've done street evangelization. I've preached to different religions for many, many, many years, and I defend the Catholic faith for a living. Some people are like, I don't want to. I could never do that. Other people are like, well, I'm not good at social media. I could never do what Kaylin does. But God has given us each gifts and talents that He wants us to use to change the world in some way. So Kaylin Boswell, is it Boswell like with a Z or Boswell with an S, like I'm the boss?
With an S.
All right, Kaylin Boswell also is a great example of how people can make a difference. She's also done some acting on the side. She's done some modeling. So she's an actress. She's a model. And by the way, I used to do some modeling as well back in the day. And she's been on shows like Fear of the Walking Dead, Queen of the South, and even the movie 12 Mighty Orphans, among others. So we're thankful for Kaylin to be here today. And we want to welcome to the show Kaylin. Thank you for joining us, Kaylin.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a huge honor to be here.
Yeah, it's a huge honor to have you here. I've been following your Instagram account for a long time now, and it's one of the best Instagram accounts that I can think of. You're always posting content. You're always sharing the Catholic faith. You're sharing the love of Christ. And one thing I've noticed is that you don't compromise the faith. You're not afraid to put it out there, not even if it's controversial, not even if you get an attack with 2,000 comment threads like I've seen. Yeah. You're not afraid to get the truth out there. And I want to talk to you about that in a minute, but I want to start out with one question. You said in your bio that you were a bunny whisperer. Either that means you talk to animals or you whisper in their ears or something else. Can you explain that?
My love of rabbits has been there since as early as I can remember. I remember being like 5 years old and like just loving them and wanting to eat like a rabbit because I love them so much. And I've owned several pet rabbits in the past. So that's what I mean.
That's great. We've had some rabbits too. And we had dogs, we had cats, we had rabbits. It was good. I liked animals and I like rabbits. They're really cute. In fact, I see some from time to time near my house in Connecticut, though it just snowed a foot of snow last night. So we won't be seeing any rabbits for a few months.
Exactly.
And you come from the Lone Star State, the wonderful state of Texas.
Yep, I do.
You're a bunny whisperer. I am a world capital whisperer. Most people on this channel don't know this, but I know every capital of every country in the whole world. It's a random claim to fame. I used to brag about it. I used to make everybody try to stump me. And then a priest came up to me. He's like, Brian, he's like, that's not really impressive. And I said, what do you mean, Father? He's like, you know what would be impressive, Brian? If you took that gift and talent that God gave you and you used it for something good. And I said, okay, what do you mean by that, Father? He's like, why don't you try memorizing Bible verses and, learn scripture? And I said, oh, okay. And so I already knew the capital. So I started memorizing scripture. So now when I talk to Protestants, it's helped. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, I know the scriptures so much. And I usually know 3-4 times more than they do. Not that it's a contest and not that I'm bragging. Right. I'm just saying it's a good tool to learn to use my gift of memorization for evangelization.
Definitely. They usually go solely off of the Bible. So if you know it as well, if not better than them, it helps them understand where we're coming from. You know, I think it's a stereotype that Catholics don't know the Bible. So.
Exactly. So, Caitlin, let me ask you this. You call yourself a traditional Catholic. What do you mean by that? And what does that mean to you?
So that means to me that I enjoy, not necessarily that. I definitely do not denounce the Second Vatican, Vatican II, but I prefer the traditional Mass. So I like the Latin Mass over the Novus Ordo Mass. So I consider myself part of the FSSP community.
And for those who don't know, that's the Fraternity of
Saint Peter.
Saint Peter. Yeah, fraternity. Yep. I should know that because Fraternity Society of Saint Peter, something like that.
But
priest who married me or officiated our wedding actually is part of the FSSP as well. So he does Latin Mass full time. And my wife and I, we go to the Mass usually in English, sometimes in Spanish, but we also go to a Latin Mass as well.
Yeah.
I like both for different reasons, but what I love about the Latin Mass, and if there are any Catholics out there who have never been to a Latin Mass, please check it out. I mean, I didn't like it at first. I couldn't follow along. Yeah. It really angered me. I left angry Mass every time because I couldn't get it. But when you go enough, you realize that it's deeper than that. And it's more than just following along. There is so much time to be silent in this Mass and to pray, and the way the music lifts your soul to God, it really can't compare to anything else. I mean, it's a really beautiful Mass, and just to experience it, if you haven't done that, people, please do that.
Exactly. And I feel the silence helps me be more reverent because I'm so used to, you know, busy everyday life. There's noise everywhere. And I feel like when it's silent, I can really focus on why I'm here, and that's for Christ. Whereas, you know, I get caught up in the music and whatnot. I prefer the silence so I can focus.
Exactly. And in fact, I am kind of ADD, let's just be honest.
Right.
And I always get distracted, in the common Mass, the new Mass.
Same
but
here.
I also get distracted in the Latin Mass. But you know what? The Latin Mass, number one, is longer. And number two, there's a lot more silence. So it's quicker and easier for me to come back, gain my focus. And even if I got distracted, it's okay because it's not like a half an hour long and it's super quick.
Right.
We jam everything in there and then leave. It's like, I think we need more silence and more reverence in the Mass for absolute sure.
I think so too. And I think for people that prefer the music, you know, we have our high Masses and that's absolutely beautiful. I mean, they sing all the hymns in Latin. So, it's definitely a different experience than the low Mass.
Absolutely. So, Caitlin, let me ask you, you have over 100,000 followers on Instagram, which is crazy. That's great. It's insane. And you're being a bright light for the truth and the bright light for Christ in a dark world that's just confused and lost and broken. When you started this, did you ever dream that you were going to get this big? Was that your goal? Or did you just start an Instagram account just to try to share the faith a little bit? Like how did that all start for you?
So funny enough, I started my account when I was 14 and I was up really late one night. It was like 2 a.m. I'm like, you know what? I want to make an Instagram account dedicated to our faith. I had just been confirmed. I had just been hungry to share my faith. And so it clicked with me. I'm just going to make an Instagram account. That's when Instagram was rising in popularity and I didn't see any other Catholic accounts on there at that time. So, but no, I did not expect it to get, you know, this far.
Well, and you've become super popular through it. You've become successful through it. Kind of what was your goal when you first started it? Like you just wanted to share the Catholic faith. You just wanted to tell people about Jesus. Like what was kind of in your mind at the time?
I think I wanted to bring humor into it so that it would draw people in. So the beginning of my page, it was more like memes and whatnot about the Catholic faith so that it could relate to a wider audience. So that's how I was able to draw people in, was bringing it through humor. So it wasn't so, you know, rigid by the book. Like, you know, I think that's what brings in the young people, why they liked it so much.
I remember a sister, a nun who, she hardly had any memes on her channel. All her channel was consisted of videos, and her videos were really just her speaking. One day was explaining the Eucharist in 1 minute. One day was explaining religious life in 1 minute. And she became super popular. And I realized recently that that's kind of my gift is speaking. So I'm going to kind of move over to that little teaching and preaching and little apologetic bits in 1 minute. You know, defend the faith in 1 minute. Help to understand it in 1 minute. So, and I'm only bringing this up because different people have different gifts. And this is what God gave us in the church. You know, not everybody is, you know, a rose, as St. Therese the Little Flower said. Not everybody is a sunflower. Some people are little violets. Some people are little dandelions. Some people say, I could never be like Kaylin. I'll never have 100,000 followers. What good can I do? That's the wrong question. The wrong question is, even if you reached 20 people, how many lives can you change with those 20 people? How much can you change those 20 people's lives with the people that God's given you? So whether you're a rose up here with 100,000 followers or whether you consider yourself a dandelion down here, doesn't matter. Mother Teresa said, bloom wherever you're planted, right?
Right, exactly. And you can bring the gift of the gospel in anything you do, whether that's fashion, that's sports. You know, look at Tim Tebow. He's a huge evangelist for the faith.
Do you know any other celebrities that you can think of that might be good examples for the faith?
Pierce Brosnan is one of them. The guy who played, why is it slipping my mind?
I know he was in The Count of Monte Cristo.
James Bond. Yeah, James Bond. He's Catholic, and it definitely reflects in his work. Because I worked with him on a show called The Sun. And so behind the scenes, he was definitely very humble, very sweet. You could just tell, like, he was living the gospel.
I don't know if you saw it on our YouTube channel. I just interviewed the Papal Ninja. He's an American Ninja Warrior. And he's someone who actually wants to live out the Catholic faith as a layperson in the secular world. And he's doing a great job. I mean, I don't know if you've seen American Ninja Warrior, but if you see him, he has priests praying on the sideline with him. They show him in church. And they do panoramas of the whole Catholic Church, and they show the crucifix. They zoom in on it. So I'm like, whoa, huge exposure to Catholicism. And he's getting that out there, which is great. So I think there are people who, wherever you are, who can live the faith.
I definitely think so, too. I know that they're still growing, but there's a small community in California that are trying to build up a Catholic production company so that they can start making Catholic films and, you know, doing it the correct way, basically. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Amen. And I remember Jesse Romero. I don't know if you know him. He's a Catholic apologist.
I've met him.
He's a spitfire. He's awesome, right?
He is. He's amazing.
But I remember he gave a talk once and he said he trained MMA fighters in his backyard. And he is, I mean, we're talking the toughest guys like in America, some of the hardened, toughest, you know, guys who could fight anybody. And he said to all of them, you know, because he trained them in his backyard in California. And he said, don't you ever even put a toe in my pool unless you get down on your knees first and you say a prayer to Jesus, because this is Jesus's pool. He owns me. He owns this house. And all praise is to him. So unless you're praying to him, unless you make the sign of the cross or something, don't even think about going in my pool. So he has all these super big buff guys like getting down and praying to Jesus before they get in the pool.
That's amazing.
Right? How easy would it be to like just say, I don't want to talk about my faith because I don't want people to, you know, I want people to respect me, right?
Right. Exactly. I think that's one of the things that is kind of why a lot of Catholics in the entertainment industry are a little shy to do that because they don't want to be, you know, blacklisted. So, but I don't see it worth it, in my opinion. Like, I will definitely be speaking my faith no matter what. And I know Christ will lead me on the path that I'm supposed to be on. So I just trust in him.
Yeah. Didn't, I just blanked out on his name. The guy who just played Jesus in The Passion.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot.
He got knocked down a few notches, blacklisted. That's a good word for it.
Right.
Just because of his faith, right? Because he loves Jesus.
Exactly. So I think that's why, that small production company in California is trying to stay quiet for right now until they build that reputation and then, you know, are able to make all these Christian films.
Yeah, it's fair. And all the people out there are watching it are like, we know his name, and they're saying it right now. They're like, why can't you think of his name? I could think of his name any day of the week, and I'm just blanking out on it right now for some reason. So let me ask you, Kaylin, you said you do modeling and acting.
Yes.
I used to do a little modeling back in the day, nothing serious. I did some TV commercials and things like that. Went to Barbizon School of Modeling and different things like that. But I found it very difficult to live your faith in that kind of an environment and in that kind of like everyone's secular. I mean, not almost everyone's secular. You feel like you're you feel like way out of place. You feel like there's something wrong with you sometimes, or at least I could speak for myself. I felt like that. So how do you feel working in such a secular environment, and how do you keep your faith?
I would say that I don't do any jobs that would go against my faith. Anything that would be, you know, out of characteristic or anything that wouldn't be considered something that I would be willing to show my family or, you know, show a priest or something, I don't do that work. So especially when it comes to modeling, because a lot of the times, especially women modeling, they want to push for lingerie, they want to push for swimsuit modeling and whatnot. And so I'm blessed that I have the opportunity to just say, no, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? But when it comes to filming, you're right. That's a completely different environment. Everyone's very much pro-choice, very much far left as can be. So I think everyone pretty much knows I'm a Christian, knows I'm a Catholic, because on my working social medias, I still have Bible verses. I still have, you know, that I'm Christian on my bios, and they still hire me anyway. So I've been blessed that it's not caused me an issue yet.
That's good. I remember back in the day, I was actually a theater major. I don't know if anyone out there knows that, but I thought about going into acting and movies and different things like that, but I just couldn't deal with the lifestyle. I mean,
everyone
around me was talking about sex and sexual stuff 24/7. I was like, and I hadn't had my reversion yet. It wouldn't be till I went to Franciscan University out in Steubenville and had my reversion. I mean, today I could totally do that. I've worked in those kind of secular environments, and every lunchtime I went to read my Bible on my own just to get my peace and sanity back. But that's great that you do that. Do you find it difficult, or is it something that you're just used to now?
I think it's something that I'm just used to now. I think in the beginning I was a little apprehensive because, you know, you hear all these bad stories of like people getting blacklisted for just one thing they've said. But I've been very fortunate in not having that experience yet. So hopefully that doesn't happen in the future.
Okay. So, but you don't find it, you're kind of in a groove with it now. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're definitely right that the small talk in the background, there's very much a hierarchy there where, you know, there's grunts of the group. There's people that are, you know, the crew and whatnot. There's a hierarchy there, and it's hard to adjust to.
Sure. So let me ask you this. You're successful, you know, in your Instagram, you're successful in your form of evangelization. How do you think other people that you're speaking to right now, especially teenagers, Catholic teenagers, or even young adults, you're 21 now, how can other people live out their faith with the gifts that God's given them?
I think one of the ways that is extremely helpful and extremely effective is the young teens that are helping the apologists on my page. So they'll see, you know, an argument going on, and all it takes is one other teen responding to that person, and that empowers other teens to be like, oh, I could do this. You know, I could just respond to one comment under a comment section and maybe change this person's mind. So it just takes one, you know, argument, one comment to change somebody.
That's true. And I would, and I know it helps you too. Even if it doesn't change someone's mind, it helps you. So you don't have to spend 24/7 answering comments, which is what I've done on when I first started my YouTube channel. Then I ended up starting a nonprofit, Catholic Truth, and creating an organization, hiring people, different things like that. But it's been a huge help lately just to have people, Catholics out of the woodworks, coming and defending their faith, ex-Protestants, ex-fundamentalists, all defending the Catholic faith. So I don't have to do it all the time. And, you know, it's really, they're using their gifts and talents as well. And I think that's great.
And you learn so much through other Catholics doing exactly that. I think that's how I slowly was able to build up more and more knowledge about the faith from, you know, the 6+ years that I've been doing this. I've learned so much just through other people.
Absolutely.
And definitely. You know, doing my own research, I'll hear one inkling from somebody and I'm like, oh, what's this? And then I'll look it up and then, you know, read on that. So
good. Yeah. And I think if people, maybe some people aren't good at Instagram, maybe some people aren't good at speaking like me, but maybe you're good at writing. Maybe writing is your gift. You could come and write for Catholic Truth, possibly, you know,
right, exactly,
for our blogs, or maybe you're good at marketing. You can market for us. I mean, there's lots of gifts that people have. I remember the story of an old woman. She was like 87, somewhere around there, and she couldn't leave the house. She was her health was failing. Pretty much the only thing she could do was sit around. And I remember every day she wrote a letter to a different person and included some sort of prayer and Bible verses in there. And the people after her death said she really inspired them and changed their life. And this woman couldn't even get out of a chair. She couldn't leave the house.
Wow.
And yet she was making a difference in people's lives. And I want to challenge the people who are watching this video, or listening to the podcast right now, to really consider what gifts God has given you and how you can use them to make a difference in the world. Because make no mistake, you're called to, period.
Right.
God, when you were baptized, you were made prophet, priest, and king. And not just the Catholic Church, but Jesus commands, it's not an option, commands us to evangelize, to share the faith, or to be an inspiration, to help people in some way. And it might be a charitable organization. It doesn't even have to be jamming the faith down people's throat, as some people say.
Right.
What would you say about that, Kaylin?
For like what people can do to do that?
Yeah. Just all the different types of things that are out there that people can do.
I would say definitely taking inspiration from that story, you know, writing our bishops, writing our local priests, you know, asking them, advocating for them to, especially in today's world where there's a lot of scandals amongst, you know, the cardinals and the higher ups, writing a letter and urging them to be clear on things. That's something you could definitely do. And, you know, it's cheap. All you have to do is write a letter and send it out to your local, you know, diocese. Or if you're good at knitting or sewing, you know, you could hand knit or hand crochet little rosaries. That's something that I've been really interested in doing. So there's so many different ways you can use your arts. You can use your words. You can write it out, like you said.
Now, Kaylin, have you always been Catholic? Like, have you always been like really hardcore in your faith? Or did you need like a reversion? Or did you have a moment where like it became real in your life?
I'm a cradle Catholic, so I was born into the faith, but I would definitely say one of the things that really jump-started my faith and really made me want to be, you know, an apologist is I had went to the capital of Austin in Texas for a bill that they were banning abortions past 26 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I was there for them signing the bill and everything and So what they had was they had the pro-life people wear blue shirts and the pro-choice people wear orange shirts. And when we went there, all the orange shirt people had these graphic signs like female anatomy, if you get what I'm saying, and like just terrible things about Jesus, the most graphic things you can see.
Yep.
And I was in the Senate room when they passed the bill. And there was this ungodly screech that all of them did. You could hear outside of the room. And that room is basically soundproof. So for the fact that we could hear them screaming like that, it shook something in me. It made me realize there's something I need to do about this. Mm. So it was crazy.
Kind of like there's a war going on and
I
want to take a side.
Definitely. It was so scary. And when we left the Senate room, there was these pro-choice people threatening to stab people with screwdrivers and waiting for pro-life people to come out into the parking lot so they could like, you know, stab them. So it was scary.
Yeah, it is. And I've been on the front lines of the abortion. I used to go and pray in front of abortion clinics and stuff and evangelize people there. And I can honestly say I've rarely seen any other place on earth that's as cut and dry good and evil as in front of an abortion clinic or with like a pro-life march or, you know, you have the pro-life people who are singing, who are praying, their eyes are closed. They have signs saying, we love you, please don't give up your baby. And then you have the other side saying, you know, F you, we hate you all. Oh, we hope you die in rotten hell, you know, and that sort of thing. In fact, I saw an interview recently with a guy and he said, what do you think, what's your movement about? He's like, well, we're just about love. We just want everyone to love. I mean, if everyone loved, it would be a better place. And then it cut and it said, well, what do you think about President Trump? Oh, F him. I hope he dies and rots. Yeah. You know, it's like, definitely. Like literally cut and dry. And when I was in front of abortion mills, Kaylin, like people threatened us all the time. Like they were angry. They were violent. I even had a cop saying he would personally take off his badge and his shirt and beat the out of all of us.
Are you serious? A cop? Yeah.
And my friends were saying, you know, like one of my friends was getting in his face and saying, I dare you. All the other Catholics were like, no, we don't do that. We're not about that. We'll pray for you. Right. But it's, I mean, I've had like big grown men smash women against the building. Like these people are so violent and angry. And it's like, I think of Lord of the Rings, like the first movie, it shows all of the good guys peacefully careening down a river. And then it pans over to the orcs and you hear this dark, evil music. And then it's back to the peace, no music, just silence and back and forth. And that's kind of the light and dark, good and evil contrast I get. And I've experienced in the pro-life for sure.
Right. Definitely. I think something that shook me too was, I don't know if you have TikTok or downloaded it, but TikTok is this app where it's 60-second videos. And one of the girls on there had posted a video of her friend getting an abortion, actually showing the baby being sucked out and making jokes the entire time. And then it had over 1 million likes and people in the comments were like, oh, good for you, sis. Like, that's so awesome. Like empowerment, women empowerment. Like you're doing, you know, all these different things. It was so normalized. Nobody stopped to say, this is wrong. They were laughing. They're like, deletus the fetus. And another thing they love saying is that they're going to eat these unborn babies. I don't know why they say that, but that's something they've been saying a lot.
No, I've heard that as well. And normally you could get angry at these people, but so many of the girls today are just brainwashed. They're lied to. They're deceived. They have no idea. I argue with people all the time on my Instagram account, on our YouTube channel. We have three videos answering the top 15 pro-choice arguments. So we take each pro-choice argument and answer it. And just the people who are so angry and volatile toward you. And it's like, you know, they either killed their own child through an abortion. And so it's like people become so hardened and angry when that happens, or perhaps they aided someone, or they're just feel they just buy Planned Parenthood's lies that we're trying to keep women down. But whatever it is, it's like the fact that you can kill your own baby and then pat yourself on the back and get all your friends to applaud you. I mean, why don't you go kill someone else's baby and do the same thing? Because it's what's happening.
Right. Exactly. It's disgusting. I know there was this other woman again on a TikTok video. She was talking about how her sister was disabled and like her mom had told her it was from forceps during birth. And like, for years, they just thought it was a birth complication. And years later, she said, no, actually, it was a failed attempt for an abortion. Like that, I messed up your sister because I was trying to do an at-home abortion. Wow. And people were like, I'm so glad you're still pro-choice. Like, it's good that you didn't stop this from letting you change your opinion to being pro-life or whatever. So, I mean, that just tells you how hardened these people are. And a lot of them admit it's a child and they're like, so we don't care. A lot of them do.
I know. I used to be a teach, and I remember someone challenged me in the philosophy club, the debate club, philosophy debate club, to a debate on abortion. And we debated for an hour and a half, and three other students joined the other side. And it got down to the fact that, okay, well, all right. Well, yeah. All right. It's a baby, but who cares? We can kill it. And the teacher who runs the debate club, you know, he was like, okay, guys, we've gone too far. I disagree with Mr. Mercier on just about everything because he's far left liberal. But he's like, I agree with him here. And there's no, you guys are, do not win this debate.
definitely. So it's scary out there. It's sad that it's so normalized.
You know what's even scarier, Kaylin, is the fact that even Catholics who go to church on Sunday, Catholics who go to CCD and religious education, Catholics are believing the same thing, are arguing against us just as staunchly as the pagans, as people who don't know anything about God. And to me, that is frustrating and sad that our church has failed to instruct her children and has allowed the culture to do it in her place.
If I had a penny every time I've heard, I went to Catholic school, but... I would be a millionaire by now. That is definitely something I hear a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's a shame. I'm Catholic, but when I hear that I'm Catholic, but I know some bad stuff is going to be spewed out.
You're Catholic, but you really don't understand your faith.
Yeah,
you're Catholic,
exactly.
But you don't live it. You're Catholic,
exactly.
But Jesus disagrees with you. So,
right.
But
or
what?
A lot of the times I'll have Catholics say, I'm Catholic, but I don't think you're being charitable in the way that you're, you know, evangelizing. I think you need to be nicer and all this stuff. And it's like, I've not seen you helping me anywhere in these comment sections. I haven't seen you evangelizing anywhere. In fact, why is it that you can go to me and criticize me than the people that are actually against their own faith that we share?
Exactly.
So it's so frustrating.
More power to you, Kaylin. Like
Thank you.
To go, you know, I've seen you get heated sometimes and I can't blame you, because just to be beaten day in and day out.
Yeah.
And like even in our YouTube comments every day, all the time.
Yeah.
Just get attacked. You're wrong. Catholics are going to hell. Catholics are the whore of Babylon.
Right.
Catholics worship Mary. Catholics think Mary's the fourth person of the Trinity. She's a deity.
Right.
Just stupid, ridiculous stuff that you have to claim. Let's not. Obviously, they've never read a book about Catholics. They don't know anything about Catholicism, but
right. You
know, it can get frustrating after a while, and we can get worn out after a while, which is why I think it's important for anyone who's in ministry, including yourself, and you probably do, I'm not assuming you don't, but
right. It's
important for us to pray, really pray. And it's important for us to sometimes take time away from this where we can maybe go on retreat for a half a day, or maybe we can
right. Just
take 2 days away from Instagram or YouTube or social media in general and just
exactly. Be,
because otherwise we lose our spirit, we lose our peace,
right. We
lose our love, and we just want to chew people's heads off for being stupid.
Right. Exactly. That's great advice. That's something that my spiritual director has actually told me. So you're dead on about that. It really helps to have a spiritual director when you're doing this type of work. So
I have a comment on that, but let me ask you this first. What's your prayer life like? What's your spiritual life like on a daily basis, Kaylin? Sorry for putting you on the spot.
It's okay. No worries. It's definitely a rosary at least once a day, at least before waking up or going to sleep. Throughout the day, obviously prayers before every single meal, stopping and taking a minute to thank the Lord for something I'm grateful for in that day. It's the little things like that that really add up.
Okay, good.
And
go ahead. No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, before the whole COVID thing hit, I was able to go to adoration every Friday of the month. And so, but you know, now with COVID, it's a lot harder to do those things.
Yeah. Do you still try to take some silent prayer at home?
Yeah. Even though, you know, I have 7 other siblings here, it gets kind of hard. So
wow.
I have to put on earplugs and whatnot, listening to the rosary to, you know, focus.
Amen. And let me just say this, everybody, like this is a perfect example of how we should be living our faith. Kaylin is 21 years old, people. And she's praying the rosary every day. She's taking time for silent prayer. She thanks God before meals. She thanks God for things throughout the day. She has a flipping spiritual director at 21 years old. And she's living her faith and evangelizing. To me, that is the model Catholic that we should all be doing. And my daughter is 1 year old right now, but I hope when she grows up that she will really live out the faith in this way, and that she loves her faith
right. In
this way, and she's trying to make a difference in this way. And I want to challenge all the people who are watching who don't even have a prayer life to get off your butts and get a prayer life. We're in Advent right now, and you should make
right. It
your goal to pray every day for at least 15 minutes to a half an hour every day for the rest of Advent, to start a habit. If you don't read the Bible, people, I would recommend highly reading a chapter of the Bible a day and reflecting on it. Just stopping at the passages that make you think, like, oh, wow, that struck me. Why did that strike me? God, what are you trying to speak to me in that passage? Like, we need prayer lives, especially if you're in ministry, especially if you're evangelization. We need
exactly.
to take breaks, and we need a spiritual advisor. I have a pseudo spiritual advisor. I go to her when I need
awesome.
Help, but she's always been there for me. And I think it's important.
I think so too. It definitely, if you're on the fence about something, it's really nice to have a solid person be like, no, like, this is what you need to do. You know, it's very helpful in a lot of ways.
Yeah. No, I actually agree with that. And because it's easy to deceive ourselves. It's easy to say, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm Catholic. I mean, look at all these hours I spend on social media beating down everybody, but yet I can't even pray for 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, exactly. they correct you on that. Definitely. They're like, you know, you need to either take a break or you need to do this in a different way. And it's nice to have somebody to fall back on and, you know, correct you if you're wrong.
Exactly. And too many times, if people, you want a hardcore book that'll get you, light the fire under your butt. I mean, it's not one of the nice books. It's hardcore. It's called Spiritual Combat. And the whole book starts with the people who think they're holy, but are not. They do a lot for Christ, but they're not anywhere near Christ. And it tells you the difference. And it's scary to think that we actually think many times that we're close to Christ and we're far from Christ, perhaps not even on the path to heaven. And he says that's how the devil deceives us, which is why we need to be in the truth. And spiritual reading is incredibly important, people, because that also, it's like having a spiritual director, kind of gives you the advice that you would never think of or that you didn't know, or clarifies things you thought you knew in your head, but uh-oh, I was wrong.
Right.
It's important.
I think getting on to kind of the topics of books, one of the books that has helped me a lot and helped me get less discouraged is a book by St. Peter Damian. And during his time, it sounded so much like today. Like there was a lot of homosexual scandals amongst the priests and cardinals and popes and whatnot. Like he was actively fighting all of that in his time. And this was early, early church history. So it sounded like he was describing today's world. And so he obviously was able to make a huge difference at that time, just this one person working against it. So it's kind of refreshing to know that, you know, it's happened in the past and we've overcome it. So
what's his name?
St. Peter Damian.
Okay, so, I'm going to look him up and I'm going to have other people look him up too, because that's what we're struggling with today. I mean, you know what? God sent us to preach his word to the pagans.
Right.
And I'm just going to say it. Our church are the pagans.
Yeah,
it's like, definitely. I can't even go evangelize the pagans because I'm fighting my own team.
Yeah,
many definitely. Catholics don't know their faith. Many Catholics are bigger pagans than the pagans. They are living. That's why we made a video on our YouTube channel. It's called Catholic Atheists. People who claim to believe in God, but they live exactly like atheists. They talk like atheists. They attack you like atheists for believing in the Catholic faith. You're not Catholic. You're fake Catholic.
Right.
We have a video on that too. But but the reality is that it gets tiring of having to fight against your own team. But I guess if that's what God needs, I mean, our church has been under attack for about 60 years and it's been taken over in some ways in the last 40 or 50 years. And so it's getting much better now. And if out there, if you guys are tired of all the junk in the church, watch our video called Hope for the Catholic Church. Just look it up on our channel, Hope for the Catholic Church, Catholic Truth. Mm-hmm. And it's all the reform that's actually happening in the church, seminaries being reformed, Catholic schools being reformed, Catholic media being reformed, pretty much everything that was infiltrated and taken over by liberals and modernists and all these other crackpots who were operating under the title of priest or theologian. They're all being moved out. You know, we're finally reforming and getting under from the ash. And all the little Protestant churches that they're sitting there like, oh, I knew the Catholic Church was evil. And your church is like a hole in the wall Billy Bob church that's 20 years old and will probably fall apart in 20 years from now. We've been around for 2,000 years. And any church that's been around for 2,000 years is going to have issues at some point.
Exactly.
The fact is, we've survived.
Right. Exactly. It's crazy because it feels kind of like in today's age, you know, our cardinals and popes are kind of like celebrities that we can't get to, we can't touch and whatnot. Like we can't send letters to them and aid them, but that's actually further from the truth. There's been plenty of saints back in the day that have harassed them through writing letters to them and was able to change so many things just by writing letters. So that's something that we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly. And if we do it on a mass scale, it'll help.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the next, we do saint videos here from time to time on our channel. And the next, one of the next ones we're going to do is Saint Catherine of Siena. And she called out the Pope herself. She told the Pope he is wrong and he needs to get his butt back to Rome where he should be. And he listened to her. You know, the Pope refused to listen to the cardinals. He refused to listen to the bishops. He refused to listen to his advisors. He was staying in Avignon. And she came to him and said, Holy Father, you're going against Jesus. He's not happy with you. You need to get back to Rome now. And he's like, okay. He listened to this little girl who was just holy fire. You know, she was so holy. Priests used to call her, from what I understand, for exorcisms when they couldn't get rid of the demon.
Really?
That's how close to Jesus she was. And just amazing. I can't wait to do her story.
That sounds really awesome. I'll have to look into her story too. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and her parents were atheists. She couldn't even live her faith. She actually, they refused to let her live her faith. So she had to make what was called like a inner prayer closet inside of her, where she just communed and talked to Jesus all day long inside, and nobody knew. And that's a model for us. We should all be doing that pretty much every day, talking to Jesus a little bit more inside.
Right. That's wonderful. What caused her to become Catholic? Like, was it just something in her childhood just felt called to it?
I'm not sure fully. I have to look into it more, but I think she had like an encounter, like a powerful experience with Jesus that really transformed her life.
Wow.
But yeah, that's, I got to look into that.
Definitely.
So let me leave you with this, Kaylin. First, I want to ask you two questions. What message would you give to teens about living their faith? And what message would you have for adults to live their faith?
Okay, I think for teens, a lot of the times, especially when they're in high school, they think the people around them is going to be around them for their entire life, and they're always going to know these people, and that they have to basically walk on eggshells about the things they believe in. That couldn't be further from the truth. Be yourself, be proud of your faith, talk about whatever you want, because to be honest, only your family is the ones that are going to know you 50 years down the line. So don't be afraid to speak the truth. And for adults, I would say, I think a lot of them are busy with work. They're not slowing down in life. I think even just the slightest little prayers throughout the day is what makes God the happiest. So, and that's what can build your prayer life, is just whenever you take that moment, that 30-minute car ride to work, just take that time to pray the rosary, just have it playing. You don't even, necessarily have to follow along. Just listening to it will help you. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think the busier we are, the more time we need to take to pray.
Exactly.
And that's just, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Padre Pio, St. Francis de Sales all said we should be taking at least an hour of prayer a day. Right. And I'll say something shocking for modern ears, but they said an hour of mental prayer a day, not just vocal prayer, mental, like meditation and contemplating and listening to God and just being quiet with God. Now, of course, most people can't do that today. Most people can't even sit down for 5 minutes in silence. But to your point, I think we need to take more time. And that's for me too. And in fact, after this interview today, I'm going to pretty much take a lot of the rest of the day off, because I've been working like a ton doing interviews over the last few days. So hopefully I'll take some time off now.
Exactly. Especially in the Advent season, and we're so close to Christ's birth. Just take this time and meditate. Yeah.
So before we leave, what do you do for Christmas?
My whole family, it's just us. Pretty much we make, homemade cookies. We make these little chocolate mouse things. It's, cherries dipped in chocolate. We put little, Hershey kisses on them and almond slivers to make it look like a mouse. So we all just spend it together.
Now, are you the oldest, Kaylin?
No, I'm number 4 of the 8 children. So right in the middle.
Do most of your family live the faith?
All of them do. Yeah, we all
do. What's the secret? How did your parents get wonderful kids? Most families have people who are off the rails, maybe a couple live it, maybe one. Like, how did your family raise you guys to live the faith without pushing too hard and pushing you guys away?
I think part of it was the majority of us were homeschooled until high school. And that was one of the things we had, our mom teaching us the Catholic faith. It wasn't necessarily, some teacher that, not to say like parents that don't homeschool, like their kids aren't going to be Christians or whatever, or good Catholics. Just, I think in this circumstance, that really is what we needed to grow. And praying, we all pray together all the time. We all do a family prayer every night together. And doing that as a family, that's something we look forward to, is spending that 5 minutes together, because we all are living our own little lives, doing our own things. But for that 5 minutes, when we come together, you really feel connected to your family. So that's
wonderful. Hey, I majored in theater, and now I ended up getting a master's in theology, and I never thought I would be preaching Christ. But then when you have an experience, a life transforming encounter with Christ, you can't help but do it.
Right. Exactly.
I just want to challenge Catholics to really live your faith. I want to thank you, Kaylin, for coming on this show with us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you for sharing your faith, not only here on our YouTube channel and podcast, but also on Instagram and different areas as well in your life, modeling in your life as and I've seen a lot of your modeling pictures on your Instagram.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, oh, she has another Instagram. And right. So I feel like you're trying to live your faith in every aspect of your life.
Exactly.
And I feel like this is exactly how Catholics are supposed to live. Faith isn't just right. something we do on Sunday, then we walk away from it.
Right.
We live our lives every day. We might think about Jesus for a few minutes before we go to bed. No, Jesus is supposed to be first in our life. Our right. lives are supposed to revolve around him. Our decisions are supposed to be made by him in prayer. Right. We're supposed to not compromise our faith just to be cool or sit around with other teens or whatever. I mean, I remember right. a kid came up to me once and he said, if you talk about Jesus one more time, I'm going to punch you in high school. So I didn't talk about Jesus again. But then in right. college, I had somebody say, hey, if you talk about Jesus again, I'm going to punch you. I said, go ahead. You know, I'm not going right. to stop talking about Jesus. And of course he didn't. But the, right. the fact is, it's like, we really need more Christ in our faith and live it in every aspect of our life.
Right. So. Exactly. Thank you again for having me on here. It was a huge honor to be here.
Yeah, maybe we can do it again in the future sometime. We can talk about topics you're passionate about. I know you're passionate about pro-life. Maybe we can have you back
yeah.
on. Speak about pro-life stuff. I'd love, I mean, we were just getting going on that.
You
and I could have got fired up.
Yeah.
But so yeah, maybe we could do that in the future. Would you be open to that?
Yeah, I would love that.
Sweet. Then thank you. And I just want to, in closing, thank everybody else for watching. Please check out the information below in the show notes, podcast, YouTube. I'm going to put Kaylin's Instagram down there. I would ask that you all follow her. And I would also ask that you follow us, The Catholic Truth Instagram. And we're going to advertise this on our Instagram. We're going to advertise it on all our platforms. We want everybody to see it. We think you have a great story. And we would ask all the people out there to check out Kaylin's work. Check out her evangelization. See what she does. Send her a comment on Instagram. Thank her for what she does. And some of you guys may have the gift of finances out there. Maybe you're really good at making money and you can bless us here at Catholic Truth and help us to keep making videos, keep working, keep growing. In 2021, we really want to do street evangelization. We want to go to Protestant churches. We want to go to evangelize them. And we need a video crew. We need a team. We need to grow. And so if you could help us, any of our patrons out there, if you want to join our Patreon and you could check that out below, we would really appreciate it. Most of all, please share these videos. Please like them. Don't smash the like button though. Don't kill it because we're Catholic. Just gently hit that like button if you like this video. Give it some love. And thank you, Kaylin, and God bless you, and God bless all that you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian.